When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let me see you put your hands up now. 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 Now.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The Bears are absolutely one of the worst teams in football.
It starts with me and it ends with me. I accept complete responsibility for that.
Today's guests, Pro Football Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk, voice of NBC Sunday Night Football, Al Michaels, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, plus your phone calls and more. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We're live in Los Angeles, California on NBC Sports on Peacock. NBC Sports Audio, Sirius XM Channel 85. Brockman, good to see you in your spot.
Yo, what up?
Yes, Jason Feller in his spot for Mike Del Tufo, who's hanging out east. If anybody thinks he's coming down, let us know if Del Tufo comes down your chimney on the East Coast at any time over the next 10 days. Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. Good to see you, sir.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here, Rich.
Yeah, really, brother. Is. Good to see you all. Yes, you know, it's a crazy mixed up world. It's a crazy ass world. We just had two games on a Tuesday because of COVID-19. A 44-year-old man leads the NFL in passing yards. With three games to go for everybody. Longest regular season ever. Getting ready for Christmas weekend. 15 Jets just tested positive for COVID-19, including the coach and their three best players.
Wow.
Elijah Moore, Michael Carter, the running back, Michael Carter, and Vera Tucker, the guard. So that's the way the Jets are getting set for their game against Jacksonville Jaguars. And, top draft choices on the line. And the Washington football team, you know, I think there, but for the grace of, football / COVID gods go a lot of teams right now. And, the Cleveland Browns had a chance to be one win away in week 15 from leading the AFC North. Unfortunately for them, COVID struck. A whole bunch of players were out, including their top two quarterbacks. Big Nick Mullins did his best to give them a lead late, and then the defense watched the Las Vegas Raiders march down the field and kick a game-winning field goal, and they go from the penthouse to the outhouse, first place to last place in the AFC North, fourth overall to 12th in the AFC. And the Washington football team has a chance to win a game on the road in division and stay in a seven seed and have in a mosh pit of NFC teams at 7-7 and 6-8 and to be one of those 7-7 teams, and not just one of the 7-7 teams, the 7-7 team with the best chance to make the playoffs at that record, because you have all the tie breaks. And COVID hits, and their top two quarterbacks are out, and they got to go with Garrett Gilbert. And they got a nice break, actually, to start the game last night. They actually got a good break to start the game, where Dallas Goedert, it was the only, only pass he didn't catch last night.
Yeah, right.
He dropped it, and it fell right down his body, hit on the back of his heel into Landon Collins' waiting arms. And Washington cashed that into a touchdown. But the Philadelphia Eagles watched it. It's like a typical Jalen Hurts performance this year. First quarter, you're wondering if he can put two snaps together. And then by the fourth quarter, he's got three total touchdowns.
Yeah.
You know? And I know that's maddening for the Philadelphia Eagles fans. And I know you wonder, it makes you wonder sometimes if he's got the right stuff. But Nick Sirianni, to his credit, the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, after an interception and a fumble from Jalen Hurts in the first quarter, he went right up to him and he barked right at him and he coached him hard. And I would proffer to say Jalen Hurts is used to being coached hard. You know, his dad, coach, and Nick Saban, former coach, and he responds. And the run game works, and he works, and the Philadelphia Eagles are now 7-7. They're the 7-7 team, but unfortunately for them, they don't have as strong a tiebreak record as Washington would have at 7-7. So the Vikings with 3 weeks to go, are your 7-7 team. And the Vikings take on the other winner of last night's games, the Los Angeles Rams, who have got to turn around. They're going to get on a plane to Minnesota 3 days from today and play a football game and hope that they don't, more people on their team don't catch COVID and more come off the list. And the Vikings, who, you know, I mean, you got to knock on wood for them because they famously have a whole bunch of unvaccinated players. And that's what Chris Carter mentioned the other day. But I guess Omicron is kind of like leveling the playing field right now.
Right.
And the Vikings are 7-7 hosting the Rams. That is a huge week 16 game because the Rams now have the same exact record as the Arizona Cardinals. And you take a look at the NFC standings right now, and the Arizona Cardinals are all the way down at 4 after being all the way up at 1 for about a month and a half. And they are now at 4, and the Los Angeles Rams are sitting there at 5 with the same exact record as them and the same exact record as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the same exact record as the Dallas Cowboys. The Rams can win this division, or they can be the one seed if Green Bay somehow stumbles a couple of times. That's the problem for the Rams to try and get this thing all the way through SoFi to the very end, is they came off of their bye and lost in Green Bay. And I just don't see how Green Bay's losing two out of their last three the way that their quarterback is playing. But the Rams can win a division and can host a game in SoFi Stadium and can host maybe a couple of games in SoFi Stadium. And look out if that happens as well. Whoever wins that division is going to be a tough out. A tough, tough out. And part of why the Rams are a tough out is the same exact reason why the Colts are going to be a tough out. Because they have a player who is playing his position so far above what most others can do by playing the position, having an all-world year at the position, just like Jonathan Taylor is having as a running back. And you could say a running back can affect a game more than a wide receiver because a wide receiver is far more dependent in getting the football instead of having it just jammed in his stomach. A quarterback's got to find him. What Cooper Kupp is doing right now is off the charts. Number 10 in your Rams program, number 1 in your heart. He is lighting it up. He is going to be a triple crown winner at the receiver position. He is going to do this. He is in first place currently right now in terms of receptions. He set the Rams receiving reception record last night, breaking Isaac Bruce's record. He leads the league in receiving yards by a couple hundred right now. And he also leads the league in receiving touchdowns. The last to do it was Steve Smith Sr. a few years ago. Jerry Rice has done it. Cooper Kupp's going to do it.
What a year.
And he is one behind the NFL record for receptions in a season. That's Michael Thomas. These are on-pace stats right now. Okay. He's on pace. He's one behind the record. He is on pace to break the receiving yards record.
Wow.
And receiving touchdowns as well. He's going to fall short of that. But Cooper Kupp's lighting it up, folks. And I'll tell you this. If Kupp breaks the record for most receiving yards in a season, got to give it up to Matthew Stafford because he's the quarterback for both. Calvin Johnson and Cooper Kupp. And last night, the Cooper Kupp touchdown that put the Rams on top, the reception that put the Rams on top was amazing. Pitch and catch. Because when Stafford released it, Kupp didn't look open, and he threw it to the spot where he thought Kupp was going to go,
yeah,
and Kupp did
the
go there.
The window was so small.
And it was up top, and Kupp grabbed it, and then made a touchdown out of it. That's why the Rams can be dangerous. And, of course, I understand like a quarterback and a receiver combination is definitely less reliable in a playoff game than a running back can be. But Kupp's doing it. And anybody who's got Jonathan Taylor and Cooper Kupp on your fantasy team, call in if you're not in first place because I'll give you a hug. Two of the greatest fantasy seasons we're seeing. And both of them in the worst fantasy week maybe in the history of fantasy football that probably eliminated so many teams that were terrific all year long and then they just ran out of gas. There was nothing, there was no blood left in the stone. Both of those guys lit it up anyway. So,
dude, my league has Rodgers, Kupp, and Mark Andrews.
Oh, that's got to be good enough for the dub, right?
Yeah, he's on our way.
And then there's the Seattle Seahawks. You get the sense that this Carroll Russell Wilson run is over. You get that sense. You get the sense watching it. You just get the sense seeing it that the magic is gone. Poof, like Kaiser Soze. And maybe it's the setup of the spring and the summer where we were talking about Russell Wilson having wanderlust. Him going on our buddy DP show, the one that precedes us on NBC Sports on Peacock and NBC Sports Audio Sirius XM Channel 85 every day. He goes on right after winning the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award at the Super Bowl, watches Tom Brady win the Super Bowl next to Roger Goodell in his box, and it looked like somebody stole his lunchbox. And he tells Dan the protection up front for him has got to change, and then the stories come out that he wants a trade, and his agent even gives a couple of teams out there, right? I mean, you all know the story of how it's like he wanted out and had even presented a couple of teams with the opportunity to go knock on John Schneider, the general manager's door, and say, I want Russ because he wants us. And there's apparently a confab, like a little bit of a conclave at Trey Lance's pro day. Remember that? And it ended with Russ staying in Seattle. And then Russ saying, go Hawks, like he always used to. And then everything is all copacetic. And Pete Carroll came on this show in the summer, and I brought all this stuff up. And he's like, this is kind of old news. And I'm like, yeah, but Coach, we haven't spoken since that news became old.
Right.
So it's kind of a new ground for us to cover. And it's all good in the hood. And then I think we all agreed in the, at least in the NFL media, who talk about this stuff and hear about this stuff and hear stuff that doesn't get reported and chitter chatter. And like I said, everybody talks. It's more than just somebody's cousin or brother, as Urban Meyer found out, that this season's result would go a long way in determining Russell Wilson's future in Seattle. And as of last night, in which the offense couldn't put points on the board again, or enough points on the board again, the loss last night clinched Russell Wilson's first losing season as a professional quarterback, even with the longest regular season ever. Even with one extra game to avoid being under 500 by the end of the season. Even with all that, that's clinched with three games to go. 5-9. Last time the Seahawks had a losing record was the year before Russ got drafted. And the offense, DK Metcalf, has disappeared. Now, I know Tyler Lockett wasn't in the game last night. And I know Chris Carson's not in the game. I get it. So many teams are without people. And boy, did they get some bad breaks, too. The fact that there was no pass interference on DJ Dallas last night, when the ball was underthrown, Dallas was coming back to the ball, the defender between him and the ball wasn't looking for the ball and hit him early. I mean, that is every single check mark, certainly in this day and age where so many pass interference calls give the throwing team a bailout because it's thrown short and the receiver's coming back for it. How many times do you see that in the NFL? We're showing a photograph of it right now. I mean, my gosh, the ball's not in arm's grasp yet of DJ Dallas, and he's already being hit. An awful call from midfield on fourth down. Absolutely should have been Seattle's ball, but then, you know, they would have had to have scored. You know, they would have scored a touchdown. Which has been very difficult for them to do. How has DK Metcalf disappeared? I'm sure he's wondering that. And this was supposed to be a year in which, you know, everything was supposed to be hunky-dory. And they're under 500. I do not know how this plays out. Of course, none of us do. None of us do. But you have to sit here and look at the time on the clock on the wall based on how the clock got to the time it was and what we heard from Russ and then from his camp that 5-9, maybe a 10th loss coming. You take a look at the rest of their schedule. It's 3 in a row. I mean, Seattle, I don't know where they come up 3 in a row based on how poorly they're playing offensively. They're just not putting any points on the board. Bobby Wagner's got to be pulling his hair out of his head because he's just playing still lights out football. They do play the Bears coming up next, and the Bears are so bad. Here's how bad the Bears are.
How bad are they?
The Bears are so bad that the pick that the Giants have from them is better than the one the Giants have just from how bad the Giants are.
Wait, say that again.
The Giants have two draft choices, their own.
And the Bears?
And one from the Bears.
What trade was that?
Justin Fields.
Oh,
right.
And the Bears pick that the Giants have is better than the one that the Giants have on their own right about how putrid they are. That's how bad the Bears are. Yep. The Giants pick 5th and 6th, and the fifth overall pick is from the Bears. That's how bad the Bears are. So maybe Seattle gets a dub right there. And then it doesn't matter. They're going to have a losing record, and there's going to be a reckoning. And the question is what do you do? What do you do? And maybe, just maybe, this is what I was thinking when I watched the Seahawks leave the field last night here in Los Angeles. You know, Pete's old stomping grounds. Same thing with Ken Norton Jr., my first NFL Total Access analyst. And
who got poached from you by Pete.
That's right, yes, back in the day. And he, it's the thing I was thinking of as they walked off in Los Angeles. I'm like, this thing appears over. It just really feels that way to me. Could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong because the 12s love Russ and love what he and Pete did together. I just don't know anymore. And you have to sit there and think, certainly without a first overall draft choice, do you go replenish that and go send Russell Wilson somewhere else and get somebody's boatload of draft choices? Because right now, despite how poorly they've played on offense, I still don't think generally people think Russ has lost it. And his trade value isn't as potent as it would have been this past spring. Let's take a break. We'll ask Marshall Faulk about all this. Today is the anniversary. It was 18 years ago. 18 years ago tonight that Brett Favre had one of the games of his life after his dad passed away the day before. The man who called that game on Monday Night Football, Al Michaels, is going to join us. Hour number 3, Albert Breer will join us. J.C. Tretter, the Browns center, who also happens to be the NFLPA president, said that the games this weekend that got pushed to Monday night and last night almost all got canceled. And that the NFLPA pushed to have them postponed so players could get paid. And then so much more to ask Albert Breer about in hour number 3. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. Let's take a break. My Pro Football Hall of Fame buddy, 2-8, what does he think about the Rams' chances and everything else going on in the NFL? That's coming up on this busy Wednesday. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on the terrestrial radio program. For those who are listening terrestrially, boy, we just delivered a setup for this conversation. My Pro Football Hall of Fame friend, who I love dearly, is Marshall Faulk here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. How are you, Marshall?
Rich, I am doing good, man. I am doing very well.
Excellent.
In this holiday season. And yes, I was on hold. And I want you guys to know I don't just give Rich, you know, crap for nothing. Just imagine we're on our way to talk about the ultimate team sport. And our quarterback, our leader, stops the van with a few other Hall of Famers who have played the ultimate team sport to pick up a pizza. That was a personal thing.
That is insane.
Four personal slices. I mean, we were okay with stopping the bus because we thought that he was going, like, Rich got pizza for us. Yeah. That was awesome. He came out with a pan, a personal size pizza. And I proceeded for the next 6.5 hours to remind him of his efforts. Yep. He's a team player, guys.
Confirmed by Marshall Faulk himself. Right there.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, wow. That happened. Well,
hey guys,
my bad.
People
would say, "My bad." That happened in Chicago, Illinois. That did happen.
Oh man!
Oh my God!
Good time though.
Oh yes. But your favorite—I'll just let you keep going if you wish. Your favorite is the coat rack in New Orleans, in New England. He's already laughing. He's laughing.
God. We were in a small little trailer.
Yeah, a small trailer in the parking lot.
Small trailer.
That's where
small trailer. Yeah. Well, so we're in this small trailer.
Great. You're gonna love
and,
this
and Rich is trying to do his script. And so within the small trailer, I am sitting extremely close to Rich, like leg touching. What did you say? And he's upset that is a small space. We don't have any, we can't move around. And he's trying to like find somewhere to put his coat. Oh my God! They've had this. One of the PAs built this coat rack, and it just wasn't. It wasn't sturdy, and the coat rack fell. And Richard lost.
I'm trying to do my job, right? I'm trying to do my job. Everybody else is just trying to stay warm because we haven't gone out in New England yet, and it's like 20 degrees, and we're in this little box, okay, in a parking lot. Right, because probably there was no room, I guess, in all of Foxborough for us to be placed, you know, to do this thing. And so Marshall sensed my anxiety over the whole situation. And Marshall, there was enough space for you to not touch me.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you
yeah.
kept nudging. You kept nudging next to me. You kept on shoving me. You kept on, so I couldn't even write, like, I couldn't even type because you just kept on.
True.
And then I would look at you like, can you give me some space? And then you just kept looking at me like, yeah, no.
No, no doubt about it. You could have, there, another person could have fit on that couch, but I just, I wanted to be close to you. That's it. That's it. I wanted to be in your personal space.
Oh, my God.
And it just, it kind of egged on. But here's what I am going to say.
Yes.
The next year when we went back to New England, they had an actual room for us.
They did.
So as we say,
squeaky wheel.
Squeaky wheel gets the oil.
Marshall nicknamed me Squeaky Wheel.
Squeaky wheel. You are squeaky.
That was my nickname for Marshall, the Squeaky Wheel.
Rich Squeaky Wheel.
We used to have on set. We had Snickers bars for whenever Rich have one of his tantrums. We'd slide the Snickers bar.
No.
You know the person, the commercial when the guy is like,
yeah, because you're not yourself.
You're not yourself.
You're not yourself. Just want everyone to understand that that's not the way I always am. The Snicker bar was the indication that that's not really me.
No. But there's those moments where everything will just it'll just pile up on him and he has to say something. Like, he'll hold it in. He can deal with it. He can deal with it. And I can see it. I can sense it on his face. And I'm like, I just got to get in there. I got to get him to the boiling point.
So here's the best part about this conversation. Then we'll talk a little bit of actual football. Is the reason why we're having this conversation is because of Kurt Warner silver puffy jacket that trended on Twitter night on Monday night.
I got so many text messages. What's your boy wearing? What's your boy wearing?
It's your fault, right? It's your fault.
It's your man to him.
And you know he's sensitive about it. You know deep down he's a little sensitive about it.
No doubt.
Right.
But I think it was I believe
yes.
It was a great marketing ploy by Lionsgate.
Ah.
To get Kurt to wear the jacket to have him trending in time with the movie.
Yes. Okay. Here's the master plan. Man.
Think about it. Think about it. It's like when Justin Bieber is about to release an album, he goes to jail.
So the silver jacket is the jail of the equation, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
It makes so much sense now.
Oh, I'm crying. This is so funny. Oh,
now, everybody
gosh.
Out there in America, just go watch Kurt's movie.
Yes,
it's
you should. It is beautiful.
It is worth it. It is worth it.
I didn't see you at the premiere that
night. It was awesome.
It is beautiful. It's a beautiful movie, you know. And the guy who plays Ray Lewis was that guy was great because that was what was that like the first game though? The first because in the movie, just so everyone knows, you do see Kurt's first game. Spoiler alert: he does make the Rams and start, and it's against the Ravens. What was that like that day?
First game
against first Ray game and the Ravens.
So literally, Rich, that was the birth of that defense and what they became. Like that game was like 99. Our first game becoming the greatest show on turf, right. And that defense becoming what they were. Like that was the game, and you can tell it was like, man, there was some intense plays, some throws that Kurt made in that game that was the deciding factor in that game. Now. We end up winning a Super Bowl. A year later, they win a Super Bowl.
Right, right.
So it was that defense. I mean, they were good. I mean, you could not have a tougher, a tougher task for a first starting game. And some of those throws, man, that game, it was so impactful in Kurt's career for what was to come. And I just love how he handled it because it didn't start off the way you wanted to start off. And it was exactly as was. Think about this. The year before, so in 98, I go into Baltimore and give it to the Ravens. I had about maybe 250 yards. So we were playing them. They were like, he's not beating us.
Right.
This number 13 is going to have to do it. So they basically, they put it all on Kurt. And I just love how he handled it.
Yeah, I know.
How he handled it.
And he got picked by Ray.
Love how he handled it.
He got picked by Ray. Yeah. So what was it like for you guys when you were thinking, okay, we do have a great offense, and here's Kurt Warner, who was getting ripped nonstop in practice, you know?
We didn't have a great offense. We did not know what we had. We had only played one preseason game with Kurt as the starter going into the opener. So we didn't know what we were. The confidence wasn't as a team, like individually, Isaac knew what he could do. Torrey coming in at the sixth pick overall. We knew we had a pretty good offensive line with that left side of Adam Timmerman and Orlando Pace. And then me. That was what our offense consisted of as far as names went. But to do what we developed into as a team, Rich, we didn't know at that time. Mm. We had no idea. And I'm gonna say, as much as people look at what was around Kurt, all of the things that you saw, it's so funny. I don't know people used to always talk about, it was like, oh my God, he will stand in the pocket and take the hit. He will stand in the pocket and take the hit. To watch the movie, and I'm not going to give it away, to watch the movie and find out why,
right?
The four why, it's so impactful, man. That was more of a tearjerker than anything for me, because, you know, it's like distance travel, what he had to do and how he turned a weakness into a strength.
It's
I love that dude, man.
Me too. Me too. And you know, that's why everyone should see the movie, and conversely, why it's such a shame he wore that jacket. And so TJ came up. Tell Marshall your idea of the jacket, and then we'll talk a little football with him. So go for it.
Well, Marshall, you know, everyone was cracking on Kurt about his jacket, right? And then I said yesterday, the only jacket color Kurt Warner cares about is a gold jacket. And then it hit me. What if the Pro Football Hall of Fame gave you guys jackets for different weather conditions? Yeah. So you get your blazer, right? But then if it's raining, like Harold Carmichael yesterday, you have a Hall of Fame like slicker raincoat. Yeah, then you have a pea coat when it's cold, maybe a windbreaker when the weather's, you know,
or a puffy,
little bit chilly.
Or a puffy coat.
Puffy coat, yeah. You know, just
what
give
think,
you guys
Marshall?
Different jackets for different weather occasions.
What do you think?
I actually think it's great. Let's just either... Maybe Nike, since they're the lead sponsor. Maybe Burlington Coat Factory. They could just produce the coats.
Yeah, yep. Right. For different.
I think it's a great idea. No, it's awesome.
Yeah, right.
So at a game like that, at a game that Kurt's calling, he could sit there with his Hall of Fame jacket on. For Wichita.
Triple fat goose.
And
stay warm.
Perfect.
I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great idea. And you've got
someone's going to get rich off of this, and it ain't going to be me.
No.
Right? It ain't going to be me.
It's not.
We have the polos. We have the polos for when it's hot.
That's right.
We don't have to sit in jackets.
Right.
And I think when it's cold, you give another option.
Right. And then you look inside, like, and you put your number inside. Yeah. What's your number? What's your Hall of Fame number?
265.
So you put 265 in
it's
your
all authentic. Only those gentlemen who sit at that Nitschke lunch can get these jackets.
That's right.
Of course, it's still, you know, an elite club, but you know they get you covered for
you
any
go.
Type of weather.
There you go. So
I'll bring this up at the next committee meeting we have for Hall of Fame.
There you
and
go.
Here's the thing. This is what I love about the Hall of Fame. If I go out and find the sponsor to do it, then they're all for it. Like, they don't just turn stuff down when we give ideas. Because this is a great idea. I'm going to be honest with you. This is a great idea for, you know, football is an inclement weather sport.
Yeah, football is family.
We get to this time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea.
There you go.
Seriously.
And that's, there you go, from Hall of Famer number 265, number 28 on your program.
Yeah, the Marshall
Falk
Collection.
Number 265 in the Hall of Fame Bus Gallery. There you go.
Telling you.
All right.
Also, Marshall, don't sell yourself short. In 98 against Baltimore, you had 267 total yards.
He was a bad man.
As a Colt.
I'm never perfect with the numbers when they're mine. I'm just always on the trend. And I always round down just to give people an opportunity
to
round
man.
Up.
You're a humble man. You're a humble man. You're a humble man with a plan. So Cooper Kupp just passed Isaac Bruce's team record for most receptions in a season. They got three games to go. How far do you think this Rams team can go, Marshall Faulk? What do you got for me?
I'm going to say this. Defensively, I feel like Raheem Morris is doing a great job at at putting these pieces together. You know, he had some guys and convincing them to play as a team. Two games ago, when I was listening to the announcer, it was like, oh, yeah, the Rams have these individual pieces, but on defense, they have to learn how to play together and connect it. And you know Warren Sapp will tell you. That's all Sapp used to talk about, yep. Front end and the back end. We got to work together. And for a while, you know, when they were on that losing streak, they weren't playing together defensively. And I think that what we're starting to see now, which is you can't just double Aaron Donald and then Chip Floyd and what Von Miller is doing and the young defensive backs, you know, 2 weeks ago, no Ramsey, how they stepped up, you know, and I am impressed at what I see defensively now. Offensively, it's all there. It's all there. I hate to call people out. Center got hurt. They put the other center in. Running game looks really good. I think that, you know, the backup center is a better center. I don't get to make those decisions. And then, you know, Rich, I've been saying it since they got it. It all comes down to number nine. You know, it all comes down to number nine. And we're going to find out. There's times we can blame it on Detroit as a franchise, and there's times we can say Matthew Stafford was the reason the stuff was going on in Detroit. And it's the same with the Rams. You know, when he's on point, and he threw some dimes the other night. Like, I'm talking about in traffic throws that have to be made. They got to be put in certain spots. It don't matter how strong your arm is, or you have to be accurate. He was accurate. There's times that hasn't happened this season. And as this league goes, you're going to find out he's going to go up against Tom Brady. He's going to go up against Aaron Rodgers. And they're not going to make a lot of mistakes. And the question is, you know, can he make more plays and less mistakes than them? Hasn't been in his DNA, but he didn't have a Sean McVay. So can't wait for it, man. Cannot wait for it.
Marshall Faulk on the state of the Los Angeles Rams, one of the greatest Rams of all time, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before I let you go, you got any two cents on Urban Meyer? All that stuff?
Hey, Rich, you know, man, I'm not going to kick a man while he's down. You know, when they hired him and they got on me, I asked a simple question. And, you know, I just was like, how do you hire a guy? When you look at everywhere he's been, he eventually stepped down. Eventually that's going to happen. And then I just wanted to know, if I'm hiring a college coach, Cliff Kingsbury has developed talent at the quarterback position. So I can understand Arizona. I just didn't get the Urban Meyer hire for the young quarterback. I just didn't get it. All the great teams that he had, from Florida to Ohio State, he had Alex Smith as his only quarterback starting in the NFL. And that said something to me. I just couldn't trust him to develop the first overall pick. So, I didn't expect for it to go that way. I just felt that, you know, he wouldn't turn around, but all the turmoil, all the things that we're hearing, stuff that's coming out now, just not good. I think that he's served his time. He's put in the work. I just hate to see it go this way, Rich, but I told you so.
I hear you, Marshall. I thought the minute he didn't get on that plane in Cincinnati, whether the team knew about it or not or okayed it or not, the minute he didn't get on that plane to go home, it was a wrap. I said that here, over. Right over when that happened. And then obviously,
I don't even know how you do not get on that plane. I don't even understand. You can get on that plane and take a private jet back.
Right.
But I don't know how you don't get on that plane.
The minute I saw that, and then of course, what happened when he stayed behind, it just was the end of that.
Yeah, I don't even want to get into man's personal stuff. Right. What happened, you know.
Right.
Crap happens, but not getting on that plane, that was the deciding factor. What happened after, you know, that doesn't matter. But not getting on that plane, you do not get on the plane with your team. That's unheard of. It's unheard of.
So just to wrap everything up, we just heard your 2 cents on Urban. You're concerned about Stafford's ability to win when chips are down because you need to see it to.
Yeah, what was the stat? I mean, there was a stat about him not winning against teams with winning records.
Right.
It was some crazy stat. I was just sitting there like, wow.
Right.
It blew me away. We were talking about it once before. It was some crazy stat of his record versus teams that was above 500.
Right. So there's that. Go see Kurt's movie.
Yep.
You're into the idea of the Hall of Fame making a Hall of Fame jacket for different weather types, so Kurt can not trend and you can stay warm. My bad on not getting everyone pizza in Chicago that time. Oh, did you remember the time I wore that fedora? Because that was, we were talking yesterday about fashion choices that you thought were good, but the rest of the world did not because of what happened with Kurt. Remember that fedora I wore that Dion told me to buy? And what did you think when I showed up with the fedora, Marshall, for real?
You know, Susie and I, we agreed that you would not wear that fedora ever again. But, yeah, I remember it. I do. Susie and I, we're usually, you know, we usually
You're
we're in
step.
Sync when it comes to you. We share the same sentiment. We love you. We both love you. And we want what's best for you. Right? We're here for you.
Thank you, Marshall. Appreciate it. You take care. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to everyone
love
in
you,
your
brother.
World.
Happy birthday. Holidays.
I love you, too. That's Marshall Falk, everybody. Hall of Famer. Oh, my gosh. He was there for the fedora. He likes your idea, babe. Yes, baby. Let's go.
Good idea. Hey, let's go.
Let's go.
Arias Consulting.
Yep. Let's go.
Let's go.
And when these guys start showing up in puffy jackets with
too
the crest.
Easy. It's too easy to not work.
That's right. Sometimes the best idea is you got to go to Arias Consulting.
Yeah.
We'll workshop it.
It was right in front of us.
That's our Arias Consulting. We'll workshop it for you.
Like. My man Harry Carmichael needed the Hall of Fame winter raincoat last night. It would have looked so good. So dapped standing next to David Baker. It was the perfect opportunity.
I mean, welcome, Hall of Fame.
Very simple.
Take a break. Your phone calls and more as we set up the rest of hour two. Al Michaels going to join us here on this busy Wednesday edition of the Rich Eisen Show.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I got it.
All you had to do is ask. I would have got you extra.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate. Exactly. Yes.
I mean, come on.
Well, just not supposed to. It's 3 p.m. I'm the only idiot who hadn't eaten all day. I'm not thinking that I should bring 12 pizzas on the bus. No, it's also expensive.
Well, I mean, you're QB1. That's the highest contract usually.
Oh, my gosh. I'm looking at the guest line and I recognize the phone number.
This is going to be great.
I mean, I saw it right as it was ringing. I'm like, oh, jeez.
Hi, Suze. How are you? You there?
First of all, I would never show up without pizza for everybody.
I know.
Number one. Number two, what do you expect from Brockman? He gave our kids Tupperware in a gift wrap.
That's a true story. Oh, by the way, you thought it was only me. She's giving shrapnel everywhere. Hold on. I'm putting the best mom ever sign up right now for the rest of this conversation.
Hi, Suze.
Yeah. Stand by that joke.
Okay. Number three, just because I heard Marshall, I'm in the car. Of course, I just turned it on to hear my guy Marshall.
Yes.
And just to put a rest to Fedora Gate, that fedora's been long gone, honey. I saw you on national TV, and I thought to myself, what in God's name was I doing marrying that guy with a fedora?
Oh, my God. It made you question the long term. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I got to tell you, it was a tough one. You look like you were an extra in Fiddler on the Roof.
I don't think they had fedoras in Anatevka, sweetheart. I think you might be mixing up, but I think I understand where you're going with all of that. Like Miller's Crossing or Crossing Delancey, like I was making pickles.
I love you, and I think you're the greatest.
Thank you.
But it looked like you were, it didn't look like a fedora on you, sweetie.
I know that. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
The poker boys said I looked like a Hasidic Jew or Inspector Gadget. And or the other one was Miller's Crossing. You know, that one. So you seriously don't know where. No, seriously. You don't know where the fedora is? I remember when I came home, you threw it on like the top shelf of the closet. Like we used to have like when we walked in. Like you were like, that's it. It's gone. Don't even think about it.
No, no, honey. It's gone. It's gone.
Never to be seen again.
Don't look. Don't look on the shelf where your Grandpa Morris's hat is.
Leo.
Don't look anywhere. Same thing.
I did have my grandpa's hat. There. I did. It's like a babushka.
Oh, gosh.
That was another one. I didn't wear that on the air. I didn't, but it was warm.
No,
man, it was warm.
By the way,
yes.
You never will.
Thank you so much. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen.
Hey.
Susie. Next one. Very good.
My wife.
Thanks, Susie. I'll see you later.
Gone.
She hung up. That wasn't me.
I love how Susie emphasized that she only turned it on to hear her go at Marshall. Like,
no, she gets. She's not constantly, monitoring the situation here, but she does.
She
thinks we're too tough on Del Tufo. That's what she thinks.
I do too sometimes, though.
No. You do think that we're too tough on him?
Sometimes he brings it on himself, though.
All the time.
Give me an example of when I'm too tough on Del Tufo.
There was a day you wouldn't stop hounding him for his concentration. I even called in and said, because I was like, if he walks off, I can't be there in time.
So then Jason was really worried about him. He's not worried about Mike.
He's worried about the show.
There you go. Exactly.
Because this guy is focused on the little things.
Is he?
Del Tufo is focused on big picture.
Yeah, Doug the
for
Pug.
This program.
Yeah.
Like he is a jack of all trades for this. Jack of all trades for the show. He is an invaluable member of this program.
Correct.
And never hesitant to tell you how invaluable he is.
Also correct.
Correct. Yeah. But when it comes to like the little things, like paying attention.
The little thing.
He's focused on a cat meme or
or the cat outside the studio.
And it's his job to make sure we sound all right.
Right.
And all of those drops that are in front of you that you can't figure out because there really is no
rhyme, no reason.
There's no categorizing system over there. You can't, it's like a library where the Dewey Decimal System is just whatever.
Kids are home. There's
no system. There's just decimals. There's just numbers. And a guy named Dewey.
Words.
By the way, how many people got that reference?
We tend to skew a little older, so.
Yeah, I mean, if you're under 30, you have no idea what the Dewey Decimal System is.
I don't remember.
Remember the big, like it was like Ghostbusters. They had the big shell, and you had to pull them out.
Of course.
And the card.
Index cards. And,
oh, my God.
Al Michaels in hour number two. When we come back, I'll tell you which teams have real playoff hopes or not. And we talking playoffs or what? It's been a while.